We're now bringing to these microphones David James. Yes, it's that time of the week for the conversation that David and I have, looking at issues and then helping the body of Christ to go to the Word of God and get an understanding biblically of how to deal with the issue. This time, we're going to be looking at a potpourri of items, a Bible knowledge asylum, a test for Christian refugees in Great Britain, a lack of Bible knowledge among Christians in the United States, Ramadan, the insider movement, etc. And so keep the dial set. You're going to be informed by eavesdropping on this conversation. David, you recently returned from Europe, where governments are scrambling to deal with the influx of refugees from the Middle East. Talk to me about that.
Yes, that's right. Our listeners will recall I was most recently in Hungary, and Hungary actually was a focal point in the news, international news, for quite some time because it was sort of the crossroads of people coming up out of the Middle East through the former Yugoslavia, Serbia and Macedonia and those places. And in fact, Word of Life, where I was ministering, actually went into Budapest where the refugees were gathered at train stations trying to get into Western Europe, and they were taking food and providing some help, but most importantly, they were sharing the gospel. But Hungary, as well as countries across Europe, are struggling to handle the huge numbers as well as the problems they bring.
Well, one of the big problems has been extreme violence carried out by many of the refugees. And if I remember correctly in the news, just Thursday, there was a serious problem at a refugee camp there in Germany.
Yeah, there was a serious problem. What happened in Dusseldorf, an entire refugee camp was burned down. The excuse that was given was that they weren't awakened to begin their observance of Ramadan, and usually they begin the days of Ramadan with a breakfast at the beginning of the day, and they weren't awakened for that, so they burned down this refugee camp of 250 refugees.
Speaking of the month of Ramadan, which began on last Monday, what is Ramadan? We need to make sure our listeners understand what we're talking about and how important is it to the Muslims.
Right. Well, Ramadan is the ninth month in the Islamic calendar. Now, the Islamic calendar is on a strictly lunar calendar, which means that a year has 354 days rather than 365 days of the solar calendar. And so the month of Ramadan, the ninth month, rotates through the year and moves about 11 days each year. And Ramadan is believed to be the month when Muhammad first began receiving his revelation of the Quran from the Archangel Gabriel in 610 A.D. And fasting during Ramadan from sun up to sun down is one of the five pillars of the Islamic faith. Some of the others include the profession of faith in Allah and Muhammad as prophet, going on the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca each year, as well as praying five times a day. So it's extremely important, and if you miss days, you have to make them up other times during the year.
You know, one of the challenges faced by European governments is the need to screen out potential terrorists while allowing legitimate asylum seekers into their countries. A couple of days ago, Christianity Today reported about an attempt by the United Kingdom to identify Christians who have fled life-threatening situations in Islamic countries.
That's right. The report talked about a test that had been put together that screeners are supposed to use, people who would interview the potential refugees and asylum seekers, to identify whether or not they were actually Christians. Now, it doesn't mean that only Christians would be allowed in the country, but they would certainly be given special consideration because in many Islamic countries from which they're fleeing, they would, like you said, they would be in a life-threatening situation. So the British government wants to determine whether or not they've actually converted to Christianity from Islam.
Well, that's, of course, a good reason for giving this test, but I don't know about the test. I read some of the questions. I think you need to explain to those eavesdropping on our conversation the questions that are being asked. Some may be reasonable, others border on the absurd, while there are still others which are just simply Bible trivia.
Well, that's true. Let's start with the absurd. The first question in the article was, what is the color of the cover of the Bible? Seriously? Now, the only way that question could only be asked by somebody who's not a Christian, who's not familiar with Christianity, or someone who is so steeped in tradition that they only have black-covered Bibles. In fact, one Christian convert, probably is a true Christian now, said his Bible was red. And so this was among several questions that he simply couldn't answer because of the way they were framed. Now, they also asked, what are the Ten Commandments, which is a good question, but I have to wonder how many Christians could name all 10 of them. Then you get into some trivial questions like, well, maybe this isn't trivial, how many books are in the Bible, but anybody could know that, whether they're a Christian or not. And then you get into something that's more specific to Christianity, who did Jesus raise from the dead, but then how many people could say which book it's found in. There are other questions, for example, how many disciples did Jesus have? Well, that's a legitimate question, I guess, but then you have another one that says, name them. Okay, to be honest with you, I'd have to really think about it to name through all 12 of them, because it's just not something I deal with, especially a couple of the more obscure ones. So it's really a really strange test.
Yes, and this test doesn't seem to have been created by anyone who actually understands biblical Christianity, has it?
Well, no, and I think there's a couple things we need to clarify here. One is there's Christianity in the biblical sense of the term, which means that somebody has become a Christian by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he's the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave. And so you're converted. You actually have a change of heart. Then someone who converts to Christianity in the world religion sense of the term is someone who simply goes from practicing whatever religion they practiced before to begin practicing some of the tenets of Christianity. But for someone to test if somebody's actually a convert in the biblical sense of the term, and they're the ones who are in most serious trouble, you have to ask questions that get to the heart of the matter and get to the issue of faith.
You know, I think that when we think about this, it's very interesting that In fact, I'm not sure that a secular government can screen for matters of the heart, if indeed a heart has been changed by Jesus Christ. But let's say you were to be the advisor to some of these governmental leaders, how they could identify a Christian. What would you suggest to them to be asking?
Actually, I think it's very simple, and I would go take two lines of thought, one positive and one negative, and that would be this. One, on the positive side, simply ask the question, if you were to explain to someone how to become a Christian, what would you say? Now, they can either give a biblical answer, or they can give some kind of answer that is not biblical. And that if someone can't tell you how to be saved, then it's very unlikely that they're actually converted themselves. Secondly, on the negative side, I would say this, and this would be the test for false converts, potential terrorists who would come in just seeking asylum in order to do harm, and that would be this. Would you reject the idea that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his prophet? Now, even though Muslims can lie to infidels, that would be one that I don't think a Muslim, especially one who is a radical, would do. And I think he would get hung up on that question. So I don't think it's really that hard to sort it out.
Well, let's take that just for a moment. In asking about rejecting Islam, isn't there a trend today within missions that says completely rejecting Islam is not necessarily required to be a follower of Christ? You've heard that, haven't you?
Sure. It's fairly well known, and it's called the Insider Movement, and it's gaining a lot of traction within the missions community and in the philosophy of missions. And the idea is this, whether it be Islam or any other religion, for example Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever it might be, that you can hear the gospel and trust in Christ. But because of family pressures and society pressures or just personal preferences, for example, a Muslim could continue to go to the mosque, could continue to pray five times a day, could even observe Ramadan, while being a a private or secret follower of Jesus Christ in his heart. Now, this is a serious problem because one thing we know is, for example, we even mentioned 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it was last week, where we talked about the lifestyle that people were living in Corinth before they came to Christ, and Paul makes it very clear that they didn't follow those former practices that they came out. And, of course, we don't invite persecution, but we also know that Peter said that those who follow Christ will be persecuted. So we're to be different. We're to be not like the world. We're to be separate from the world and our previous pagan lifestyle, if that involved pagan religious practices.
David, let's go back just for a moment as we conclude our conversation to the asylum test. I remember the article in Christianity Today actually pointed out that most American Christians probably would not do well on a test like this, meaning they don't have great Bible knowledge either.
Well, that's true. And again, it may be a difference between Bible-believing Christians and those who just profess to be Christians. But in the article, it stated that only 60% of practicing Christians, those who fairly regularly go to church, only 60% can name the first five books of the Bible. Less than 60% could identify Solomon as King David's son. I would also suggest that probably most couldn't name the disciples, and most probably couldn't even name the Ten Commandments. But here's the problem. We don't have to be theologians or Bible scholars in order to be saved, and that is a matter of discipleship. So we need to be teaching the Bible in our churches so that after someone does become saved, that they become more and more like Christ in their thinking, in their worldview, and in their lifestyle.
These are very important discussions that I have with David James. We covered the waterfront this time. The asylum test for Christians in Great Britain, the lack of Bible knowledge among U.S. Christians, Ramadan, and the Insider Movement. I hope you got all of it. If not, you can go to our website, Prophecy Today, and you can go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network, and there re-listen to that at the website. David, thank you so much for your research. The conversation, I think, was great information we needed to pass along. We'll have another discussion on another issue next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be with you again.